Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Today, we are diving into a Florida Supreme Court case that's super important for anybody interested in tax law and the relationship between counties and cities.
Absolutely.
Town of Palm Beach v. Palm Beach County back in 1985. You know, it's kind of like a key to understanding how these local government powers balance out.
Right.
So for all of you law students out there especially, this deep dive is going to help you unpack the core of this case and see how it still matters as you move forward in your careers.
Got it. And to give you the best view possible, we've pulled together a few different resources for this deep dive.
Okay.
Excerpts with, you know, podcasting advice, a detailed case brief, and then a standard case brief. So we're hoping to give you a very comprehensive understanding.
That sounds great.
Of this very important case.
Yeah. So our mission today is simple. We're going to clearly explain the main legal questions in Town of Palm Beach, the Florida Supreme Court's reasoning, and how this ruling from 1985 is still relevant in Florida law today. So to kick things off, what event really got this whole legal process started?
So this legal battle started when four municipalities in Palm Beach County decided to sue Palm Beach County directly.
Interesting.
These municipalities were the Town of Palm Beach, the City of West Palm Beach, the City of Boca Raton.
Wow, so some big names.
Yeah, big hitters. And the Village of North Palm Beach.
Got it.
So they joined forces.
Okay, and what was the heart of their argument?
Yeah, what made them decide to sue the county?
Yeah.
Their main point was that the county was imposing taxes on their residents to fund services that mainly benefited people living in the unincorporated parts of the county.
Interesting.
So yeah, they're talking about things like sheriff road patrols and detective divisions, specifically in those unincorporated areas.
Gotcha.
Maintaining and building local roads that aren't classified as state roads in those areas and taking care of neighborhood parks also in those unincorporated parts of the county.
Okay, so essentially they were saying, hey, we already pay taxes for these services within our own cities. Why are we being taxed again for services in areas we may not even use?
Exactly. They felt it was like double taxation, which is a big no-no.
Right. And that's where the Florida Constitution steps in.
You got it.
Article 8, Section 1 of the Florida Constitution and Section 125.01 of the Florida statutes.
Right.
Both say that this kind of double taxation isn't allowed.
Absolutely.
So the municipalities were basically saying, hey, Palm Beach County, you're breaking the law here.
Yeah. And they felt these county taxes were violating both the Constitution and the state laws.
So what happened when this case first went before a judge?
Well, the trial court sided with the municipalities.
Really?
They agreed that those specific county services didn't really benefit people in those cities and towns.
Interesting.
So they ruled that the taxes were unconstitutional.
That must have been a big win for Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Boca Raton, and North Palm Beach.
Huge win for them.
Yeah.
Of course, the story doesn't end there.
Of course not. This is a legal battle.
Exactly. Palm Beach County wasn't giving up that easily.
Makes sense. So what did they do?
They appealed the trial court's decision to the Fourth District Court of Appeal.
Okay.
And the appellate court, after reviewing everything, reached a different conclusion.
Oh, wow.
And overturned the trial court's ruling.
Interesting.
They decided that the evidence actually showed those county services did provide substantial benefits to the municipalities.
So we've got the trial court saying no benefit, the appellate court saying substantial benefit.
Yeah, it's a classic legal back and forth.
Yeah, and that kind of disagreement often sends a case up to a higher court.
Right, and that's what happened here.
I had a feeling.
The Fourth District Court of Appeal realizing this was a big deal.
Huge deal.
Yeah, a matter of great public importance, they called it.
Yeah.
They set the case up to the Florida Supreme Court to give a final decision.
Makes sense, because this ruling could impact how local governments all over Florida handle their money and taxes.
Exactly. It set a precedent.
So the Florida Supreme Court steps in, and this is where we get to the real and substantial benefits test, right?
That's right. It becomes the central point of the case.
It sounds like this is the key legal principle that the whole case revolves around.
You got it.
So for those listening who may not be super familiar with it, can you break down the real and substantial benefits test?
Basically, it says that a county tax on a municipality for a service is okay under Florida law.
Okay.
If that service provides a non-illusory consequential benefit to the municipality and its residents.
Non-illusory consequential benefit.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be a direct in-your-face benefit that every single resident uses personally.
Oh, right.
It can be indirect, but it has to be real and significant.
Okay, so it's not about whether city residents use the service the same way as people in unincorporated areas.
Exactly. And this is a crucial point. The Florida Supreme Court stressed that the burden of proof is on the municipalities who are challenging the tax.
Interesting.
They're the ones who have to prove there's no real and substantial benefit.
So it's not up to the county to prove the benefit exists?
Nope. The cities have to prove it doesn't.
That seems like a pretty tough hurdle for the cities.
It is. It really flips the script in these cases.
Yeah.
And to make it even more challenging, the court also said that the benefit doesn't need to be proportional to the taxes paid.
What does that mean?
So even if the benefit to a municipality is kind of small,
okay,
compared to what people in unincorporated areas get, or if it's an indirect benefit, it can still be enough to justify the tax.
Got it. So even a small benefit can be enough to uphold the tax.
Exactly. And they actually use the example of sheriff support for city police departments.
Right. You mentioned that earlier.
Even if a city has its own big fancy police force,
yeah,
the fact that the county sheriff is there for backup in emergencies,
right,
or helps with crimes that cross city lines, or has special resources like forensic teams.
Okay.
That's considered a real benefit to the city and its residents.
So the idea is that law enforcement is connected across the whole county.
Exactly.
And that benefits everyone. That makes the real and substantial benefits test a lot clearer. So how did the court apply this test to the actual services being challenged in the case?
Right. Let's break it down.
Starting with the sheriff patrols and detective divisions in the unincorporated areas.
For those, the court upheld the county tax.
Okay.
They reasoned that those law enforcement services provided by the sheriff are essential backup for city police.
Yeah.
And they handle crimes that often go beyond city limits.
Right. Crime doesn't stop at the city sign.
Exactly. Oh. So even if a city has its own police department, the fact that the county sheriff is there to help was seen as a real benefit to the people in those cities.
So the court recognized that public safety is a countywide issue.
Absolutely.
And the sheriff plays a key role in that.
You got it.
Now, what about the maintenance and construction of those local non-classified roads outside the cities?
The court upheld the tax for those too.
Okay.
Their logic was that keeping up the county's roads helps connect the whole region.
Yeah.
And this helps everyone, even if the roads themselves are outside city limits.
So it's about the overall flow of traffic and commerce.
Yeah.
Even if you don't use every single road every day, a good road system benefits everyone.
Right. It's about the big picture, the economic and social well-being of the whole area.
Now, the parks issue seemed a little different, at least for some cities.
Yeah, when it came to those neighborhood parks, the court's decision wasn't as clear-cut.
Especially for Palm Beach and West Palm Beach.
Right. For those two, the majority of the court actually said that the county tax for maintaining parks in unincorporated areas was unconstitutional.
So why were Palm Beach and West Palm Beach treated differently?
It all came down to location, location, location.
Okay.
The court looked at how far away those parks were.
Okay.
And the overall geography of Palm Beach County.
Got it.
And they decided that those parks didn't offer any real benefit to people living in Palm Beach and West Palm Beach.
So it was just too far for most people to use them.
Exactly. The court basically said it was unlikely that residents from those cities would actually use those parks. So they used terms like illusory, ephemeral, and inconsequential.
Wow.
To describe the supposed benefit.
So in those cases, the distance and maybe some natural barriers meant that the benefit wasn't really there.
Right.
But didn't some justices disagree on this point?
You're right. Chief Justice Boyd had a different opinion about the parks.
Okay. What did he say?
He argued that parks, even those outside city limits, benefit the whole community.
Okay.
He felt that just having those parks around was good for everyone.
Makes sense.
Whether they lived in a city or not.
I see his point.
He didn't think the benefit should be based solely on whether city residents actually use those parks.
So he was looking at the bigger picture.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting to see those different viewpoints, even within the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. It shows how judges can weigh things differently, like direct use versus overall community benefit.
Now, this case also dealt with expert witnesses, which are a common part of many legal cases.
Right. They often play a key role.
So what guidance did the court give on that?
They made it clear that experts can present factual evidence.
Like data on how many people use a park?
Exactly. Or traffic patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't give their opinions on whether a service meets the legal definition of real and substantial benefit.
Okay. So they can provide the data, but they can't tell the judge or jury what that data means legally.
Right. That's up to the court to decide based on the facts presented.
That makes sense. It ensures that the court is the one interpreting the law, not the expert witnesses.
Right.
So looking back at the whole town of Palm Beach case, what are the big takeaways for our listeners?
Let's recap.
Yeah. Are there any quotes from the majority opinion that really sum up the court's thinking?
There are a few key things to remember.
Okay.
The majority opinion said that benefits just have to be not illusory, ephemeral, or inconsequential.
Got it.
That means the bar for real and substantial benefit isn't super high.
Right.
They also emphasize that municipalities have a heavy burden to prove there's no benefit.
Right. That stood out to me too. Heavy burden.
It means it's pretty hard for cities to win these cases. Yeah, this case really sets a precedent.
Definitely. It makes it harder for municipalities to fight county taxes for services that even indirectly benefit their residents.
So even a small connection can be enough to justify the tax.
Yeah, and that heavy burden of proof is a big obstacle for cities.
So why does this case from 1985 still matter today?
Well, it's considered a foundational case.
Okay.
For understanding how tax disputes between counties and cities work in Florida.
Right. It's still relevant.
It established the real and substantial benefits test, which is still the standard used by courts today.
Got it.
For law students, it's a great example of how courts interpret the Constitution when it comes to taxes.
Okay.
How they analyze indirect benefits, the importance of who has to prove what, and how geography plays a role in legal decisions.
So it teaches you to think about the bigger picture.
Exactly. And the main takeaway is that even a smaller indirect benefit can support a county tax on a city.
Right.
And that makes it really tough for cities to challenge these taxes. So for all the future lawyers out there, you need to really dig deep and understand all the potential benefits, even the indirect ones.
Absolutely.
When you're looking at these tax disputes.
Don't just focus on who's using the service directly.
Think about how a county service might impact a city in other ways.
Right. Think about commerce, regional safety, even the resources that could indirectly help this city.
It's been a really eye-opening look at town of Palm Beach v. Palm Beach County.
Definitely.
It's amazing how a case from 1985 still shapes how we understand tax law.
Right.
And the complex relationships between local governments in Florida.
It shows how tricky it can be to have fair taxes.
Yeah.
When city and county boundaries overlap.
Right. And the benefits of public services can have wide-ranging effects.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up, here's something to ponder.
Okay, I'm ready.
Think about that real and substantial benefits test from this 1985 case.
Okay.
How might it apply to some of the challenges we face today?
Interesting question.
Like funding for huge regional infrastructure projects or countywide efforts to tackle things like homelessness or environmental protection.
Right, those are big issues.
In those situations, the benefits might be even harder to define geographically.
Makes sense.
It's definitely something to consider as you continue your legal studies.
Absolutely.
And move forward in your careers.
Great food for thought.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into town of Palm Beach v. Palm Beach County.
It was my pleasure.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
Looking forward to it.